There is no job, no organization, no cause to which you should be more committed than your local church. Get to work, man. We live in a consumer mentality society. Everything in our culture is the newest gadget. You gotta have what people want. Salesmanship mentality. That's just what we are. Why do you go to church? It isn't to be entertained. It isn't to have just somebody work for you. We have so many church attendees that aren't Christians these days. And one of the ways they evidence it is by being lazy freaking bums in our pews. Lazy freaking bums, and you should be ashamed of yourself. You go into church week after week, it's about you, your family. You get some free daycare. Get some free nursery. Drop your kids off. Some people even have the audacity to drop their kids off at church, go and come back by the end of service and pick them up. If I ever find you doing that in my church, I'm going to have to pray to resist kicking you out. But we might keep your kids, depending on their age. So many people, so lazy in the church. A useless appendage. Folks, there should be no organization you're more committed to than your church. Doing some form of ministry there, I don't know what it is, some act of service where you do something for someone else in someone else's name, Jesus' name. What is that that you do? I don't know. Do you work in audio visual? Nowadays, we have this real blessing. We can put our sermons online. We can even maybe broadcast it. You have people that can't attend church that may be out for various reasons around the world, can't make it. You're going through a series and building them in the Word of God, and you can check it out online. Man, that's phenomenal. You can augment your week around the church with other teachers, like Biblicia.com, and you can listen to audio. It's fantastic. You can listen to video or watch video, listen to audio, read. You can supplement what your pastor's doing week in and week out. And that takes work. People to put that online, to edit it. Through the day, does your church do slides? Man, that takes work. Can you clean up the church every week? Run a vacuum. Saw a video the other day of a man in a wheelchair vacuuming his church. In a wheelchair. Big corded vacuum. And it said, when you want to serve, you don't find excuses. Everybody's got excuses why they don't serve. So many people. There's a rule in the military where 10% of your people take up 90% of your time. In the church, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. And it's really quite sad. And it needs to stop. You may not be a pastor, you may not be an elder, you may not be on a committee that takes 10 hours of your week every week to do something for the church. Some people called to that, some people can do that, their schedules allow it, where they are in life, you name it. You know, some people are retired and they can work more. You may not be involved with the youth, but you can be involved in everything I just said and supporting that ministry, and you should start this week. You don't wait until things are right. You make a decision, you go and do it. You don't wait till you're invited, you volunteer. I can't imagine, being a pastor, I can't imagine anybody ever coming to me and me saying to them, oh, we got everything filled. We just don't need any help. Or maybe you just think that the stuff to do in the church is beneath you. I don't want to do that kind of job. Does your church do fellowship meals, potlucks? You know, every month, every week, what do they do that? Can you help with setup, tear down, coordination? You know, there are apps out there. Research them so that people that want to bring stuff, you can maybe, you know, create a list in an app that shows, you know, chicken, potato salad, Pepsi, potato chips, Otis Spunkmeyer muffins. This is all what we want. If you're willing to help out, you know, go in here and pick an item. And then the person has the little app on their phone too, and they go in and say, I'll bring in Otis Spunkmeyer muffins. And that disappears from the list, and everything else just remains, and people go in and just buy stuff. You know how much this stuff would help? Any of it? Are you okay with money? Maybe you create an Excel spreadsheet that tracks money really well for your church, does receipts. Maybe there's a software already in place, you can do it. Are you a trustworthy person, able to count well? Could you help with the bulletins, handing them out on a Sunday? Could you be a hospitality person in your church? New people come in and you just want to record their information, welcome them, give them a resource maybe. I love being in churches where we give you a gospel message on CD. So even if we never see you again, hopefully we've been a part of your spiritual journey to Jesus. I love that. Could you help with that hospitality ministry? If there are sick people in the church, could you go visit them in the hospital or if a shut-in in their home? How about doing the usher job, passing the offering plates if that's how your church does it? Personally, I want to be a part of a church that has an offering box in the aisle when you come in. And everybody knows, there's online giving, but everybody knows you are expected to give something if you come here. If you don't want to give anything, okay, for a little bit, I understand. If you don't want to give anything ever, don't come. Yep, lazy bum. You don't want to contribute anything to the church financially? What do you think we are? Like, what do you think we're here for? You? We're not. Stop being a cheapskate. You can put something in the offering, because this ain't free, baby. We got plumbing, we got bills, and I am not talking about paying for my Porsche. Oh dear God, no. I don't want one. Do something for the church. I could go on about the Lord's Supper, preparing the elements, the bread, the juice, or the wine. You do that once a month in your church? Do you do that quarterly? Do you do that every week? How do you do it? Could you coordinate that? Are there readers for your church? Like scripture readers? Your pastor's going to be in a passage today. He's going to open up a portion of the text. Could you coordinate some faithful men and women in the church to come in a month in advance? You coordinate it? Say, just be prepared, Bill, when you show up on Sunday to come in and read, you know, 1 Peter 1, verses 7 to 8 for us. And they, you know, prepare and they get in the side pulpit or in the pulpit and say, you know, the Word of God, and they read it. What a blessing. You coordinate that. Is there a Facebook outreach for your church? If not, make one. And then be in charge of just walking around and asking your friends, hey, did you like Facebook yet? We want to be able to communicate with everybody. And if, you know, if you live in a place where there's snow or something, you can put out announcements. Hey, church is closed this morning. It's too snowy. We're not heading in. You know, whatever. Man, there's so many things you can do. Creating some sort of an information catalog on your people so they can be contacted, a prayer needs chain. If somebody's in the hospital and sick, you know, like this week, a friend of mine, his wife had a minor procedure, was in the hospital for 2 nights. He's got 3 daughters. Man, we brought that dude some dinner. And then somebody else takes the next night, and somebody else takes the next night. So he doesn't have to cook dinner. He can sit in the hospital with his wife and kids, if that's what they decide to do, but he doesn't have to be out fretting over dinner. Organizing that. If you have small home Bible studies, do you coordinate with the leaders of those small studies just to know who they are, who's showing up, what they're studying, so the pastor can be aware, the elders can be aware? Just to pray for them, just to, you know, when they see Mike and they know that Mike attends Bill and Jan's Bible study every Friday, they can say, hey, Mike, I hear you guys are studying, you know, Leading with Love by Alexander Strock. How's that study going? Oh, Pastor, it's phenomenal. all of this kind of stuff. Is there an outreach opportunity you can coordinate at a local university? Go down there and talk to a Baptist student union or a PC student union, a Presbyterian student union, and say, hey, I got an elder that, you know, is very loves to reach out to people and talk about Jesus. Could we have him in here on a Sunday night during one of your youth groups? Give him a half an hour. Give him a chance to address the kids. Could you coordinate something like that? I mean, it just goes on. And everybody listening to this that's not at work in the church, if you've been in a church, please be corrected. Get to work. Do something. I tell you, the people in our churches, all of them, it's not, we're as pastors, it's not our flock. We know it's God's. And we've been entrusted with these precious saints, and it means everything to us to just pray for you, to labor the word of God to you for your joy, that you might know Jesus and learn to love him more and more and more. That is our joy. That's our reward. And a good pastor, we don't want more than what we need. You know, we work very hard, but we don't want to be millionaires. We know the Bible's clear. We can't be greedy. And God tries our hearts and corrects us against greed. We just want to work for you. But the people, and so, you know, that's everybody. But the people in my church who do the volunteer work, who work with the kids, could you teach a Sunday school once a month? The kids need this, pour into their lives. The guys who do the music in our church, who come in every week an hour early on Sunday and rehearse their songs, pray and stir the people up in song as they come in, reminding them why they should sing. The people that set up the coffee in the morning so that after service we can all just move into the fellowship hall and hang out for a little bit before we disperse for a week into our lives. Some of us won't see each other for a full week. Others we see the next day, you know, at Bible study on Wednesday or the next day at an event for the ladies, you know, whatever. Man, the people that step up to do the work are so precious. And God will try your heart in this, folks. Are you doing it for recognition? Right? Are you doing it for pride? God will test your heart. He will. And if you are, it won't be long. You'll give up. You'll give up. You'll stop doing it. You'll pretend that the church just doesn't recognize you. You're not important enough. You'll give up. If you're not doing it unto Jesus. I sat this Sunday in our Awana program at our chapel. We just started an Awana program. I sponsored it. I helped coordinate it. I put together this and this and the volunteer management information system that supports our 17 volunteers. We only have about 36 kids, 35 kids, about 35 kids that come. It just started where we're at our church a month and a half ago. And it's the first time it's been there in many, many years. And I looked around and I see these volunteers that are there. One of them, a young man, comes in and plays guitar for the kids, sings a couple of songs, leads the games. Young, single officer in the United States Army. Could be playing a video game, could be traveling on a Sunday, you know, whatever. He's in Europe, right? We're in Europe right now, and he could just go out, and he does a lot, and travel and enjoy Europe. But he's there on a Sunday afternoon. Maybe he'd been there Sunday morning, too. He leads songs in our church sometimes. And he was blessed by Awana growing up. And so he's doing it to bless 35 other kids in their life. And I watch these little kids singing, "Firmly Awana Stands." And I watch my little 5-year-old son trying to learn the hand movements to the song. And my heart is just exploding because he's so sweet. and he tries to keep up with the big kids that are volunteering and that are there. Why? Because we're just pouring into the lives of other kids the way some people poured into the guitarists or the other volunteer kids' lives when they were 5 years old. And it's a burden every Sunday to go in there. A burden meaning you just want to go 10 toes up maybe at home. But you go in there and you serve. And I was sitting in Awana this Sunday and I became keenly aware of the fact that we don't do this for us. We do it for these kids. We do it unto Christ. But somebody invested in you maybe when you were little. And if they didn't, do you wish they would have? And so to do that for these precious souls, these little kids, I just felt such a love for those who would do it. 17 volunteers who were there faithfully just about every weekend, putting in 2 hours on a Sunday to teach children Bible verses, sing songs with them, play games. I mean, these kids are, some of them are 5 years old, but they'll remember Awana when I was a kid. They get their vests with their little badges, and they're so proud to get their little chevrons and their work, and I love it. And the people that do that are so precious to me. They're so precious to me. They're not doing it for me. They're doing it for these kids, and they're doing it because they love Jesus. They love God, and they want to see people come to know and love God more too. But if they're doing it for reward, you're in the wrong business. You wonder why Christianity's not so popular? There are a lot of reasons people hate God, but you wonder why Christianity's so popular? It's because you don't get pumped up by doing it. It's not about you. And in a world where most people are all about them, and they'll love you in so much as you're about them too, and if you're mutually about you and them, then they might like you enough because you mutually ensure selfishness. You live in a world like that, ideas about lifting up God above all ain't that popular. And we all struggle with the sin of wanting popularity and doing ministry for us. I do. I know I struggle with it. I get mad when I don't get a lot of likes on my Facebook post. I get mad, sinfully, selfishly, stupidly. And then I look at the video of the guy who jumps and hits his private parts on a fence post, and it's got 9 million views. And then I look at this gospel presentation giving life, and it's got 16. And I get angry at the world because my pride kicks in, and I think, this person, even if it's not my video, it could be somebody else's. 1.6 thousand views on a message that changed my life, but then this other video of a girl twerking has 23 million. Freaking nasty world. And pride enters in. We all war with it. We all struggle with it. And we have to be reminded over and over and over and over. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's not about us. Part of the reason Christianity ain't so popular is you're not going to see anybody twerking. Actually, with some churches today, you might. But that's not really a church. You can bring kids in with a twerking competition. Some churches would think, well, that's just, let's twerk for Jesus. I know, I know. Listen, there's a lot of idiots claiming to be Christians. I know. But it ain't what we're about. We're about Christ. And it's hard for people to do that. It's hard because we are by nature about us. Folks, what are you doing for the church? I promise you, whatever you do, when your elders pray for that church, you will come to their mind. They know they can't pay you. They know they can't send you to Barbados or something just for vacuuming the floor. But when they think about their church, to make it work, you need many hands. Pastor can't do it all, shouldn't do it all. He's got other things to do than wait on tables. But you might not. You might not have anything else to do than wait on tables. Wait on tables, man. What is it, beneath you? It's not beneath your pastor either. He'll do it, but he shouldn't have to. The Bible talks about a body being many members, getting to work as one of those body parts is what matters. And I don't know what God has for you. I do know that if you're faithful in a little, there are principles that talk about God increasing it. I know that. So I want to say God bless you to those of you who do work in your church in some capacity to make it work on a Sunday. And if you don't think it takes anything to make it work on Sunday, it's because you're not involved with it and you don't see it. But if you're in a real church that's serving your people, man, it takes a lot of work. And if more would just step up and do it, stop being so selfish and lazy and consumer-minded, and instead say, I'm not here just for me. I'm here for God and His people. Church would be much more enjoyable for everybody. For everybody. So I want to pray that if you are at service in the church, you find great contentment in serving Jesus. He'll reward you. I promise you He will. And you'll reap what you sow. Serve. Serve unto the Lord, wanting nothing in return. Serve. Pray about it. Get creative. Try new ideas in church. If it doesn't work, do something else. You know? It's okay. Try it out. Get involved. Do some outreach. Do some door knocking, man. Don't let the J-Dubs corner that market. Go knock on some doors. Teach evangelism. Learn evangelism. Buy some books. Hand them out for free. Raise some money. Get a worthy cause, like a charity, and raise awareness for it. People to give their money. We're so wealthy. Give a little money. Help a little kid. Sponsor a child. You know, find a cause. Find a missionary couple that you can know and love. Ask around. Support them financially. Do something unto the Lord. I just can't abide. I can't imagine somebody sitting in a church for 10 years, never giving any money, never giving any time, but showing up every week. Probably think you have some kind of opinion worth hearing, don't you? It's just amazing. And we love you. We know that, you know, we don't need something from everybody. But 90% of the work is done by 10% of your people. That's also not what we want. We want you to relax. We want you to learn and be a part of the church. We don't want to have bottomless, endless collections of your money because there's always some project we got to do and we never stop sucking your money out. No, there's things to raise money for, but it ain't bottomless. And one of the signs of a spirit-filled church is being able to say we have enough. We're good. Can't stand these ministries that always seem to be sucking money up because there's always something else to do. Of course there's always something else to do, but think about your people. Anyway, I just want to challenge you to be at work in the church, man. Do something unto Jesus, and I pray blessings on you who do, and joy in service. Everything else that you do, just pray those blessings on you for doing them. God bless.